priest was very vocal, saying, I don't want my daughter and son-in-law's captivity to be used as justification or weaponized to perpetuate violence against Palestinians in Gaza. I want the opposite. I want peace. I want reconciliation. And in that moment in time, that was not a story that was being told. The narrative was very different, and that's why we made the film.
And Liat, your message to the world 2 years later, your feelings today?
Well, it's very difficult speaking after watching parts of the film. The voice of Hind Rajab, really, it's so moving and touching. And I think that the most important thing that people remember is that there aren't any conflicts that are unsolvable. It's just a matter of people wanting to speak to each other and wanting to listen and to understand each other's stories, and that if we don't do that, we're just allowing violence to take over. And like my dad says in the film and in the parts that we saw, more violence and more killing aren't going to get us anywhere.
We're going to do part two and post online at democracynow.org. Liat Benin-Atsili, held by Hamas for 54 days. Brandon Kramer, director of Holding Liat.
Mr. No, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM. You don't know.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Development and Events Committee meeting will be held on Monday, January 12th at 5 p.m. The meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. You are listening to Genius Box here on KBOO Community Radio. It's your Friday morning talk radio. I'm Althea.
And I'm Reed.
Hello. Good morning, Reed. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. Well, I'm back in the studio. It was a long, long, long absence.
Yeah, true.
So it's nice to be back.
That's right. I had to do the show without you last year. Yeah.
I haven't been on the show for a year.
That's not
true.
I
can comfortably say that.
I can uncomfortably allow you to say that, I guess.
It's true.
Well, folks, we've got a show for you today. The quality of the show is partially in your hands because this is a call-in program where you can...
It's always been in your hands.
That's actually
now
true.
Now more so than ever.
Where you can converse with us. Truth be told, we had a different sort of show planned for today, but yesterday afternoon, there was a shooting in Southeast. Customs and Border Patrol shot two people, and that's kind of taken over everything. Mm-hmm. It seems like that's really what we ought to address here today.
Right.
So, maybe we'll be able to debut a new theme song and talk about city council doing silly things next week. But if you would like to talk to us about this, please, our phones are open. It's 503-231-8187. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Yeah, kind of unlike other shows, we're keeping the phone lines open all morning,
yep.
Which is to say the 1 hour that we're allotted.
Yeah, no. I guess you can call other times.
I guess you can just call the studio.
There's
itself.
Just no guarantee that someone will answer. But right now we're going to answer because we got to get people caught up on what's going on with this shooting. So the newest news this morning is that the Department of Homeland Security has ID'd the people
right.
who were shot. This was kind of a mystery all of yesterday. So as far as we know, they were injured and they're in the hospital right now. It's Luis David, Nico Moncada, and Yolenis Betzabit. Zambrano Contreras, both of whom are from Venezuela. Department of Homeland Security is claiming that they are gang members with the Venezuelan gang Trend Aragua. Police Chief Day told Willamette Week he has no information to suggest that that gang has an active presence in Portland. Already, the Department of Homeland Security was putting out a lot of justification for this shooting. Of course, it comes one day after ICE shot and killed a legal observer in Minneapolis.
Well, a lot of verbal justification, not much evidence, but no. A lot of justification.
Yeah, and unlike the shooting in Minneapolis, where the whole thing was caught on video, there doesn't seem to be that exact situation here in Portland, but witnesses said that, you know, this didn't necessarily look like a routine stop. Not mm-hmm. that you should be shooting people at a routine stop anyway.
Right.
But it was at the OHSU Adventist Medical Center on 102nd, I believe. And they were, their truck was cornered by Border Patrol at that location. They tried to leave, and then the officer
opened fire
at them as they were leaving a health center. Mind you, a year ago, having any kind of immigration enforcement at a medical center would have been unheard of. And so it was like 2 miles away that police actually responded to the shooting victims.
Yeah, I think, the shooting happened kind of right off of, was that I-205? Mm. And then, they were treated at Adventist.
Other way around. They were shot at Adventist.
I'm sorry, they were
They were then found at like 146.
And East. That's Brunswick. Correct. Yes. Thank you.
Sorry. This was a whole confusing thing yesterday. Folks, if you want to call in and talk with us about this, you can. It's 503-231-8187. We're taking comments all morning. You can also message us on the website, kboot.fm. We have Barth on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. I wish it was a better morning, but yes, thank you. This is very, very, very troubling. I think that the amount of excess, let's be polite and say baggage, that's being dumped onto this is just incredible, that the people at the top in Washington are saying that the person in Minneapolis was a terrorist and was a horrible individual, and she tried to kill people and this and that and the other, which is all patently false. And now a day later, they're shooting two people. These people apparently were shot in their vehicle and fled in their vehicle and drove 3 miles before calling 911 to get medical attention, is the story I heard on the news this morning. So the VP saying, this is a federal action and these people have absolute immunity. I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. I don't know. I mean, I can ramble on a while here, but this is just really troubling to me. And the idea that might makes right and the decision of the president doesn't need any second guessing or any corroboration by any other entity like law enforcement or the courts, that he can give them the right to do what they want in any place in the country and hold them blameless, is an incredible overstepping of authority and abuse of power.
Thank you, Barth. Yeah, I appreciate the comment there. And I agree with
you. I have to agree.
I feel what you're saying, for sure.
It doesn't help, you know, now that we're seeing that the case being handed over to the FBI, to Kash Patel's FBI, like the Minnesota, you know, killing. And in the case of Minnesota so far, which of course it's only been, you know, 2 days, but they've withheld any information from the state. I mean, it kind of reinforces that sense of impunity that these officers are acting with when they're, you know, heinous actions. I mean, a murder is just, you know, the legal authority for coming in, gathering evidence is completely removed from the community, from the state even.
Yeah, yeah. And as like news of this broke yesterday, and then FBI of Portland said, like posted on X, I think, that they were handling it, but then they deleted the post, which mm-hmm. was weird, but it's still true that they are handling the investigation. Our Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield announced that the Oregon Department of Justice will be investigating it as well. So we'll see what happens there. All of this, I was like having to say this to myself yesterday and this morning, because it feels like, I mean, there's very much two different conversations happening about this violence and these shootings. But even if you're a criminal, the law enforcement shouldn't shoot you. If someone flees a crime, and look, Portland police are guilty of this too. Stop opening yeah. fire at people driving away. Just go, they're driving some, just follow them. Yeah. Hello. That's not the idea of defensive shots. Whoa. Are we normalizing that idea? Mm-hmm. There's so mm-hmm. many like minutiae that I think have been taken for granted that are challenging. I don't know. There's other words for it too that I'm not going to use. But that's one of the things that came to mind for me, is that we've normalized this idea that if somebody's guilty of something ever, they are deserving of whatever violence the state exactly. may impugn upon them. And we've had remarkable tolerance for that for, you know, immigrants, especially in the past year. We've seen, I mean, this isn't the first people that have been harmed by Border Patrol, by ICE, either in Minnesota or here in Portland. Much of that is happening in custody. Much of it is behind closed doors that we don't see. And this is like visible violence that's, you know, in the community. And it's definitely an escalation. But mm-hmm. like, wow, have we gotten, we've gotten so estranged from our humanity, which is not
right. Like, you know, the other thing that this starts to normalize, of course, is the jurisdiction of U.S. Customs Border Patrol, which, you know, you can question the legitimacy of them wholesale in the DHS, you know, as a just an office that just kind of emerged into being 20, 25 years ago. But, you know, that their jurisdiction is now everywhere, it appears.
Yeah,
the border is transposed into basically every single interaction that they have now with anyone, you know, regardless of legal status. You know, they hold claim to, you know, as we see, you know, targeting really anyone regardless of you know, legal status, regardless of and you know, spinning the narrative so that it all kind of feeds into a general heightened sense of you know, danger that they're trying to convey to the, you know, broader public, that, you know, I think is also feeding into, obviously, into their actions.
Certainly.
Self-reinforcing.
Right, yeah. They're building the world in which their presence has to be justified.
Right.
And it's definitely worth mentioning that this is a department that we now take for granted, that mm-hmm. it has existed, and it sort of like has that air about it, I guess, that like, well, this is just how it is. No, we invented this. We were alive for when it before it existed, you know, and that's
it's
one of the
functional country before, but it's still operated operated before, and it's operating, you know, worse now.
Yeah, we're not
worse off with it.
Yeah, certainly. Okay, we have Tawasi on the line. Hi, Tawasi. Good morning.
Hi, Tawasi.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to mention, as far as the feds claiming to be above the law or above prosecution, they ambushed me. In 2020, the feds ambushed me. The Department of Homeland Security investigations ran at my car with guns drawn, and the exact, like, watching the video is like reliving the trauma, because they did that to me, right? And in the aftermath of the ambush on me, I'm sorry to center myself after the murder of, you know, Nicole Good, and the, you know, the attack on the people in Portland yesterday, but I lived through this. I personally have lived through this. And in the aftermath of them attacking me, I could not get any help from the Amnesty International. There was no help from the PLDC. I couldn't get the Oregon Justice Resource Center. There's nobody. None of the... I called lawyers. I begged senators. I couldn't get anybody to help me because they, all of the supporters of these institutions refuse to turn their attention towards the federal marshals. They will not take up a case against them. And it just was devastating to me because I hadn't violated any laws, and the claims that they made against me were patent lies. And meanwhile, I had to survive an ambush. You know, I had to be face guns pointed at me while unarmed sitting in my car. So I want to also mention a person who did not survive because the federal marshals killed Michael Forrest Reinhold, and they did it in the exact same manner. They did it in the exact same manner. And there was zero attempts by any lawyers or anyone to find justice or adjudication for Michael Reinhold. And he was just sitting in his car, right? So, I hear people talking about like, oh, donate to Amnesty International, donate to the ACLU, like support your local civil liberties organizations. None of them were there for me. And you know what? Right now, one of my fellow indigenous people is facing multiple federal charges that are fabricated, and charges from Multnomah County that are fabricated. And the whole thing is being swept under the rug by the media. It's being ignored, and they can get zero support from any of these so-called progressive organizations. So, you know, as much as they want to fundraise off of our suffering, when it comes to us asking for help, they're not there. And we cannot get help because the federal government is above the law. Like, they murdered Forrest Reinhold. They murdered him. They were one click away from murdering me. Every time I leave my house, I think about it because they ambushed me. And I think, okay, if I leave right now, are they going to ambush me? Because they're out there. And, you know, they literally stole my phone without any warrant or cause, searched it, kept it for months. And again, I couldn't get any support. The only person who supported me was one public defender, a federal public defender who looked at my case and defended me. But I couldn't get any support from any of these so-called progressive nonprofits. And again, there's a native woman in Portland right now being harassed by both the feds and the city, targeted harassment. And you won't even hear about it, even though all of the cases have been dismissed. So I want to make one more point before I let you guys go, and I'm sorry for rambling on. But the FBI in Portland did nothing when a far-right bomber threw multiple IEDs at activists in a park. The FBI did nothing. When bombs were thrown at us, okay? And the man who threw the bombs was documented and caught. And people familiar with the case will know that he was a former Navy SEAL. He threw bombs at us, and the FBI did nothing. So I have zero faith in the FBI investigating itself for shooting people. And I have zero faith in the ACLU and the PLDC and all of these organizations, because when we need them, they're not there for us. So, you know, last thing I'm going to say, prepare for a protracted work stoppage. Prepare for a months-long general strike. Put food on your shelves now and prepare for a strike, because this won't stop until we withhold our goods, withhold our services, withhold our labor. Until then, they're going to keep running roughshod over us. So, you know, get ready now for a protracted general strike, because without that, we don't have any power to stop them.
Well, thank you, Tawasi. We appreciate the call and for sharing with us. Just to go back to one thing that Tawasi says to give the listeners a little reminder of context of who Michael Forrest Reinhold was the anti-fascist activist who was accused of shooting the far-right Patriot Prayer guy Aaron Danielson in Portland, and he was shot and killed by a federal task force outside of Lacey in Washington, which is something that happened in 2020. And generally, you know, what Tawasi said is accurate. There's not been any kind of really looking into that. Haven't gotten the full story. Although, yeah. A quick little Wikipedia search will show you that, hey, Thurston County Sheriff's Office says maybe he shot first. So,
yeah.
And that's what's passing muster here. Folks, if you would like to call in, our phone lines are open. It's 503-231-8187. We are talking about the shooting in Portland by Customs and Border Patrol, two people wounded out in Southeast. If you would like to share with us, you can. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Click on that chat with us button and type something out.
I believe we have Jeff on the line. Is that true?
Yes.
Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hello. When the looks like Caligula is on the march and the frog is on the boil, and I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
There are two things. Number one is Louis David Brandeis. Prior to his being ascension to the position of Associate Justice on the Supreme Court of the United States in the late 19th century, about 1898, Louis David Brandeis, after whom is named the university, wrote an amicus brief to the court, which is the place where from we derive any right to privacy. He wrote, "It is the fundamental right of every American to be let alone. It is the most comprehensive of all rights and the most cherished by civilized persons." And I add to what Louis David Brandeis wrote with my own idea, which is, it is the fundamental right of Americans to get around. These rights are being violated left and right. The frog is on the boil. And here we go. I don't know the full details of the matter at hand, but I know that the frog is on the boil. Kind of sad, really.
It is sad.
To have lived this long, to see you can call it an empire if you wish. I choose to call it home, and it's being taken away from us, bit by bit. And the right to get around is every bit as valuable as the right to be let alone. Not left alone, let alone. And I think we need to take these things very seriously, including what happened to Tawasi. And I'm waiting still for all of the details, and it seems like Caligula, who is on the march, is preventing details from leaking out. Madam Bondi, Madam Noam, these two particularly insidious leaders, so-called leaders of their departments in the government, are enthralled to Caligula, and Caligula is on the march. So let us all be careful and remember that the failure to exercise your rights means that they will diminish. Are you there?
We are.
We are.
We are.
We're digesting your words.
Every right that you have must be exercised on a regular basis, including the rights all delineated in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution and all subsequent amendments, even though these Caligula lovers insist that, oh, those are all amendments. We're originalists. We just stick with the original. They would exclude all of the amendments that have been made to the Constitution of our government. Ignore them. Ignore those people. And exercise every right you have got. Can you do that for me?
We'll do our best, Jeff. Thank you so much for calling.
Goodbye.
Folks, you are listening to Genius Box here on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed.
Still. We are talking today about the shooting by Customs and Border Protection. I guess maybe they're not patrol, or just we just say Border Patrol. I don't know. The acronyms are a little confusing, and some people want to get into the minutiae of that, particularly in the Willamette Week comment section. They're like, oh, they're saying abolish ICE, but it was Customs and Border Patrol that... Stop. Sorry.
I was pedantic argument.
It was...
To me.
Ugh, oh, my God. It's I'm going to spare everybody for without my ire from what's going on in the Willamette Week comment section.
Althea has descended into the... Yeah.
I should never go in there. But if you would like to talk with us about what's going on, you're welcome to do so. 503-231-8187. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Click on that chat with us button and we'll see what you have to say. Also wanted to put this into some context of what Portland and the Trump administration's like back and forth has been, right? This is like this week just finally was the National Guard allowed to go home. Oregon National Guard had been at Camp Withicum, I think, for a really long time. There's still like 100 people there because they were federalized. So that was finally, you know, disbanded. That's actually not happening. And then earlier this week, there's this lawsuit between the U.S. Department of Justice and Portland Police because the DOJ has taken up the complaint of fringe right-wing influencers who were arrested for disorderly conduct at an ICE protest a few months ago, and immediately opened this investigation into the Portland police that they were viewpoint discriminating against people who were being rowdy. And all of the this is what I heard anyway, all of the amicus briefs in that case are on the city's side, which is like unheard of. So it's also in the context of the DOJ possibly losing in this like investigation that they're trying to do and trying to accuse Portland police of.
Which is yet another loss for them. I mean, that's kind of like, I think, a story that's maybe slipped under the radar is just how many of these cases the DOJ, federal DOJ, has raised that they've lost.
Yeah, or in the process of losing.
Or in this case, in the process of losing.
Mm-hmm. We also saw last night after this shooting and some of the conditions of it became public, Portland Mayor Keith Wilson and Portland City Council have called on Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, Customs and Border Patrol, to halt all operations in the city until an investigation can be completed into what happened here. And there was also a vigil last night at City Hall. There was a protest at the ICE facility. 6 people were arrested. Here we are again.
Now, do you have any indication that they will halt operations until this investigation takes place? Has DHS responded to that?
I don't think so. No.
Comment?
No, they're very selective about what they
respond
to.
They are pretty selective in how they...
And as somebody who sometimes has to call them and try to get some straight answers, hey, it's kind of hard. they're not especially forthright. There's a quote somewhere in some of the reporting from this morning of Wilson saying, like, hey, there used to be a time where we could take the feds at their word. That time is gone. And it's like, whoa, you got Wilson out here saying that?
Wow,
that's probably the
most radical thing he's ever said.
Yeah, yeah. And also this shooting interrupted a city council meeting yesterday afternoon, which was a continuation of an 8-hour one that happened on Wednesday, where they were just debating trying to pick a new city council president. It was deadlocked between current city council president Alana Pirtle-Ginney and Samir Canal, who's like the challenger. interrupted this meeting, but it's wild because on Wednesday, part of this like protracted thing, and I pulled so many bizarre clips from that
Althea
meeting.
Althea did. When I walked in, she was culminating tireless work. She got the little
through.
Film reel out. She has a little razor. She's
cutting it apart. But anyway, they were all talking about, it's like, well, who had leadership when the federal invasion was happening, and like who really stood up for us at that time, and you know, like debating over that about who was, you know, rehashing it, talking about it as if it was so in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that in the past, obviously. And what ended up happening yesterday is they were pulled basically into an emergency recess and then came back about an hour later, announced news of it, and then sort of debated if they could just, they're like, well, do we allow this to interrupt like city business, or do we, you know, we got to go help our constituents. Like, we can't be in here, you know, talking
debating
about how great
six,
we are.
Six tie. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, well, you didn't put my agenda item on. It's like, well, that is important, but it is feeling maybe not petty feels the wrong word, but it's not as important, obviously, as what's going on here. Folks, if you want to call in, give us your thoughts, 503-231-8187. You can also reach us through the website. You can type something if you're shy about your voice, but don't be shy. You don't have to be shy. You can call us. But it's kbu.fm.
We're welcoming.
Click on the that chat with us button. I do have a comment from online for Genius Box. Why are we not advocating for a tax strike? We pay our hard-earned wages to our government and leaders to take care of our city and our country. They are using those funds to harass us. Why are we paying them? Tax strike, tax strike, tax strike. Okay. Tax strike.
Interesting point.
I'll tell you what, there is a little bit of literature in the KBU lobby about this very idea. and yeah, that is something that people are talking about. Of course, we heard from Tawasi earlier about thinking about a general strike. Yep. And definitely there's some insult meet injury when it's your own hard-earned dollars. Fewer and fewer that we're able to procure these days that are going towards this situation that we're in. Tax strike, Reed, you on board? Should we stop paying taxes? Thoughts?
Presently it just seems like federal dollars are getting shifted. Not that they were equitably allocated, but they're getting shifted more and more into these, yeah.
I saw
defense
someone...
and Border Patrol, two piles. So it makes it easier and easier to
I saw something that the
it.
I wait, let me see if this is, oh, I think it is true. Guys, I'm on politifact.com because I had heard that ICE is now has more money than the FBI, which I think is true. That is wild. Or maybe that's just it got a huge insert of new funding, but you know, the minutiae of it all. Anyway, they've got a lot of money and they did not exist however many years ago. I guess the thing that I come back to, I forget who the quote is from, which is not poor form on my part, but that these are problems that are made by humans and therefore they can be undone by humans, I think is something that I've been thinking about. These are problems that we created, and I think that there's, you know, when you become more aware of it, like such a desire to roll the clock back and undo all of it. And it's not predestined the way that things are, the way that things are going to be. We have Tangent on the line. Hi, Tangent.
Hi, Tangent.
Hey there. I wanted to bring up, I heard the story the other day about how someone had introduced a bill to raise the national minimum wage from, can you believe this, $7.25 to $15 an hour. And they mentioned also in the article that if it had kept up with inflation, it would be $20 an hour. Okay, and the thing failed. So the thing was like, nice try, but okay, the first point is like, why is it $7.25? Why hasn't it kept up with inflation? As Congress wages, every government employee gets a cost of living adjustment. It's called a COLA. So what I'm getting at is, now people talk about apathetic voters. But I'm saying it's the Democrats, but all of them. But here we, the Democrats are the ones claiming to be in our corner, whatever, who have been apathetic towards us. Yes.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. No.
You're getting a big yay from us. Yeah.
Okay. Good. All the news pose now. Yeah. Okay. So there you are. They could do that. It makes sense. Goodness, it makes sense for them. It makes sense for my dad worked for the government. That's how I learned about the thing. But there you are. Apathy started somewhere, and we didn't invent it, I would say.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to mention Renee Good. This is sick. I'm just so sad about it. Angry also. But, you know, it's like, God, maybe we should start saying this. I'll slip there. This ego thug's name. Okay, say his name. So, and you get me, not out of reverence, but out of defiance, I guess you'd have to do it. Not deference either. Something Ross. Let's not let him hide.
Yeah, I saw some reporting, and it's always, it's interesting what ends up getting highlighted after this sort of thing. And there was AP reporting. It's like, oh, well, he was a 10-year law enforcement veteran, as if to suggest that maybe he's not the ICE stereotype, which would be someone who is not equipped to do regular
shuffled
law
in the last 4 months.
Was he kicked out of other law enforcement agencies?
Right, yeah, no, that's it.
That happens a lot. The shooting in Bend, it was over 10 years ago now, but it was a grandson of a former Bend or Portland policeman, okay? But they just drove up on his car and killed him. But the guys had been evicted from, or whatever they call it, from Southern California, from L.A. And they just applied at Bend, and okay, you're on.
Relocated, yeah.
Yeah, and
the country,
you know,
doctor style.
And actually, that's a great comparison. There's so many snake oil salesman stories of I just moved two towns over and pulled the same con again. And there isn't, I don't believe that there's, and this is one of the things that, like, when we have had police officer murders at different times in different states, one of the possible legislative solutions has been, can we have like a national registry where we where those folks can be looked up? And we have the Oregon wide one, but even that one has a bunch of holes in it,
right?
And has been, you know, anyway,
right? You know, there's not
you're asking the people with the guns to, you know, police themselves to
be transparent about themselves
as an idea, because now it's been mentioned that the Minnesota National Guard are on standby. And will a Minnesota police arrest this murderer? You're asking guns against guns. I mean, these guys are all come out of the military. They're all supposed to be on this. That's a very weird scenario. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for arresting this person, but I cannot see one department going up against another agency of any kind. It's too ingrained in them there. You know, you never get out of the military, man. You look at how they do it in drill camp. They just shout everything out at you. You can't talk, couldn't communicate like a teacher would, and the humiliation, and your mother's about
right.
Wrong with, he never met his mother. What do you know? You get it's horrible. Ladies, many call them ladies. I often joke about now that women are in the military, and I asked a police officer and asked her if she was in the military before, what did they call you? Gentlemen? Gentlemen? No, I think it's probably like girls or something, yes? Right?
Some kind of, yeah.
Okay.
The only thing more derogatory than being called a woman is a young woman, so that's always good. Well, thank you.
Well, even so, in our jargon, we say boyfriend and girlfriend, and we're adults. Come on. Can we be lovers or... It's all over the place.
Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Tangent.
We got about 20 minutes left in our program. If you would like to call into Genius Box this morning, please do. It's 503-231-8187. One of the things that Tangent said that reminded me was, I mean, there's like all of these legislative solutions that have been discussed and maybe not acted on yet for how to deal with these, with ICE violence and ICE stops. The bare minimum of which is that these thugs are not identifiable. I mean, they're masked. They're not, or they're not wearing, they don't identify themselves. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say what department they work with. And so the idea that you, any creep with a gun and a camo mask can come up to you and you have to do what they say, otherwise they might
which has happened.
Kill you? Like, that's wild.
People impersonating, not that an impersonation is any more or less legitimate than the actual ICE agent coming up on you.
But yeah.
It completely opens the door to just, I mean, complete anarchy.
And I just to, like, that you in that situation are supposed to, like, what is the best case scenario? You don't submit to your own urge for survival?
Exactly. What kind of code of conduct can you rely upon and to like, there's no basis of, like, trust or kind of...
And I think there's, like, such a desire for this sort of, like, perfect victim narrative, too.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that I even have that drive in myself of, like, how do you... of, like, that there has to be some,
right.
like, true
Complete
absolution.
Martyrdom, you know?
Complete martyrdom, yeah. When I think that... And now I'm getting into it. But just like that, I think that desire like is
it
estranging from our own humanity, right. which is that we shouldn't be killing other people regardless.
It goes too
kind of ever. We shouldn't
be
doing
that. Fundamentally, you have to. I mean, it's like, you know, not to draw in too many tangents, but like with the invasion in Venezuela, you know, the illegal abduction of Maduro, and you have... You know, people coming out being like, you know, Maduro is a dictator and has done horrible things. Da, 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 but we question, you know, the legitimacy of the... And it's like, you're undermining your own argument, or you're just... You are... again, you feel like you have to trust that you can just say something, you know, this is an illegal act, and not have to justify it because it is an illegal act, and that,
and
you know,
ideally
stance,
the laws that we're talking about have some sort of justification,
right.
that people might agree upon.
You shouldn't have to justify yourself. In fact, you know, seeking justification is like in a way undermining your point.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't believe in the legitimacy of what you're saying.
Right. And I think some of this sort of like desire for or like searching for a perfect victim is, I think, also maybe related to a desire for something to be the tipping point.
Yeah.
Something to be like, oh, well, this is the line. This is now we're really truly
it
over.
It doesn't
the line.
Really work that way
it
anymore
doesn't really
in this
work
media
that
environment.
Way, but also maybe it never worked that way. I think that some of that is our historical mythologizing.
Yeah, absolutely.
After A came B, then C, and then D happened. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
And
watching History Channel documentaries. This was the moment when everything changed.
Right.
It's
right.
all in retrospect.
And I think that is only, I think that that's more like individualized, you know, is that the moment that it changed for you to start doing something about
right,
it?
Right.
And it's not to say that those moments don't matter or don't add, you know, something to the conversation, but I think we, I don't know. Now we're just talking about victimization, but we have some folks on the line. Artie is on the line with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, well, hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hello.
Okay. I mean, one word kind of came to me as I was just trying to sum up what's the, you know, the Border Patrol and the agencies around the country. And that word to me was Gestapo. And I guess, you know, a person, a historian could find out what there may be in the way of similarities, things that were the same. But it just seems to me like it's a law force that's given the right to harass, to arrest, to assault people, and it's based on race. So you're still with me there?
Yeah. I think Gestapo. Impunity is what comes to mind from what you're saying.
Well, I want to try to make a bigger picture out of that. It's not the Border Patrol, the agencies, and the rest, ICE. There's a term, fascism, you know. My definition of fascism, it's a form of government that's controlled by powerful business interests, that's primarily. And secondarily, its authority is enforced by racist factions within local police and state militia. So there's this, I see fascism, and I see Gestapo as a part of that history that we appear to be repeating. So, still with me? There was a caller that you read what he put down on the cable site about taxation. And that's a point, because I'm my particular issue as an environmentalist, right, is transportation. And Venezuela is an example how the business interests that are involved in transportation, you know, finance, insurance, sales, services, marketing, construction, pay to drive, pay to park, all that, those businesses, they're falling into the line with that thinking that it's not just the president. I mean, he's too much of a dimwit to really actually run the show. They're just holding him out there as a distraction. And it's the party that's really calling the shots. And I say the leaders of the Republican Party are fascists. They're not interested in serving a Democratic majority. Even on the conservative Republican voter, the leaders of the Republican Party, they only want to serve that minority. They're the most powerful people. Fascism, a form of government controlled by powerful business interests, and the Republican Party across the board can be held to account for the harm that's going on in the country. So I've kind of tried putting that together as an idea to consider.
Well, thank you, Artie. We appreciate the call. We appreciate the thought. I think, definitely looping in that aspect of, you know, powerful interests and who is benefiting from that, from the situation that we're in right now, is an important question to ask. Somebody else wrote in online. I wanted to share. This says, concerning the ICE shooting in Portland, something is not passing the smell test with PPB. One of the accusations against the couple that were shot is that they were suspected in another shooting. Why doesn't PPB know about this situation? It seems like it should be their jurisdiction. That is true. PPB, that was part of the DHS justification, right? They're part of this Trenda Aragua prostitution ring. You know, they're like a married couple, but the husband is trafficking the wife, and they're also suspects in another shooting. PPB, I believe, told Willamette Week or whoever it was that asked about that, we don't know of them as any, or I think maybe there might be actually new stuff on this because they didn't have the identities of the folks for a while. It was just the accusation from DHS that they were suspects in another shooting, but PPB has not confirmed that that's the case. Also, I mean, I think, sniff it out. The smell test may not be passed there.
Right.
And she's ugly and she smells bad. You know, it's a little bit of that to me. But we'll see. I guess there's still a lot to emerge.
Yeah, I guess we'll see if PPB publicly releases that or if they, in their deference to the FBI, you know, works with them and withholds that information.
Yeah, I mean, they're not involved in the case from what, like, I mean, are asking Police Chief Day, like, what are you guys doing? What do you know so far? And he's like, we're not involved, you know, because the FBI has taken over all of that. We have Steve on the line. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I've been listening to your show. Anyway, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I just want to say there's so many different things going on, but, about the shooting, you know, nobody knows anything, and at least nobody on the news that I see, and I watch, you know, the local news, which is highly edited and regulated, but I know that there's people out there that saw it, and I think, you know, for our police chief, and I like our police chief, he seems pretty cool, but I like the mayor of Minneapolis more because he's angry, and, you know, it's like, we pay a lot of money to police. I support police. I've helped them in fights before. But
if they see anybody, if I was a cop or if you were a cop and you're driving down the road and you see some big guy with a mask and he's beating somebody up, you're going to pull him over, and if that guy runs from you, you can arrest him. And if other people come in and attack you for trying to arrest him, then you need backup. And so, and I mean, it's got to be, it can't just be like, oh, the FBI is taking everybody, everybody go home, nothing to see here, you know what I mean? And as far as us, because we're not, I'm too old to be a cop, and a lot of people, it's a hard job, you know, and I do support them. And when they do shoot somebody, everybody can't just jump to conclusions, because you try pulling somebody over at 2 o'clock in the morning, right, and walking up on their car, right? It happens. Cops get shot. Cops get killed, too, right? So, but the thing is, I remember watching Adam 12 and stuff, it's like there's citizens' arrest. So when things like this happen, you don't have to jump in and try and, you know, but you can follow somebody and you can identify somebody because somebody out there pulled the trigger. And in the case of Minneapolis, it's awesome that somebody had filmed that because you can see it. And I've been, you know, I admit it, but somebody tries to run you over in a car, you're running. You jump out of the way. That's what I had to do. That guy didn't jump out of the way. He stood his ground and just fired, and she was turning to the right. So, but I don't know what's going on in Minneapolis, but I think in Portland here it's probably going to change down at the ice building. But anyway, I just wanted to put my two cents. Oh, the one thing I wanted to remind people is, like, how does this happen? What are we going to do? It's like, let's go back to 2016, okay? We were all a lot younger, okay? Hillary and Donald, everybody's like, who in the hell would vote for Donald Trump? That's crazy. The Apprentice, a TV guy, a cokehead, right? A rich New York City. You know, everybody's like, it could never happen. It didn't happen. Hillary Clinton won by 3 million votes. But the Electoral College gave it to Donald Trump. That's where it all starts. You know, I'm just asking you, here, I'll ask you a question. I'm doing all the talking, but you get, if you got kids or if you, you know, a niece, or you tell a kid, now make sure, go out and organize and get that old lady down the street that sits at home, say, I'll pick you up, take you to the, and so, because your one vote's going to count. And then you hear that she won by 3 million and they gave it to the bad guy. Yeah. I mean, what's the, people, young people who are smart are going to go, what the hell is the use in voting for the president of the United States? They're just going to put in who they want.
Yeah.
And as far as what can we do about it, I know we can't go to Washington to man the Electoral College. But if you notice, I mean, I'm a Main Street news junkie, right? CBS has been bought by the billionaires. They don't talk about, nobody talks about Gaza anymore. Everything on the news is Trump, 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 right? And then it goes right to Hollywood and stupid movies. Nothing, you know, I mean, it's like, and sports. But anyway, yeah, how did we get this guy in the way? I mean, he goes, they hand him 20 pieces of paper and he gets out his Sharpie. He loves himself. You know,
he loves
to write his name. At least he's still 80 years old. He can write his name. But a presidential order, hey, Mr. President, we decided, let's sell the White House. I'm the president. I can do whatever I want. I decided to sell the White House and use that money to pay off the national debt or hire more ICE agents, and that's what I do. The Supreme Court says I can do anything I want. And so the only thing we have left is a general strike.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody's like, I'm not in a union. I don't know. It's like, no, you get the word, and everybody who, and if people, if you, you know what?
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you for calling in here. We got a couple minutes left on Genius Box for the rest of the program. Steve mentioned something about, you know, like, we don't have a lot of details. That's true. We don't have a lot of details. We don't have video like in Minneapolis. What can people do? You know, follow and film. Of course, that's what that woman was doing when she was shot. So of course that's like a concern. I did want to mention before the end of the show that their Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition has a MIGRA Watch training virtual next week with a focus on sort of like the Portland area suburbs. So folks might check that out. There is also an upcoming vigil for victims and survivors of ICE and Border Patrol violence that's happening tomorrow, Saturday, from 4 to 6 p.m. at Terry Skrunk Plaza right outside Portland City Hall. That's being organized by Clear Clinic, Vaz, PERC, and some other groups. So that's kind of in the immediate future. I will say the Oregonians reporting had some eyewitness reports of what happened at the shooting, saying that the man who was shot was at the office of Adventist Health trying to get health care when officers blocked him in, and he tried to drive off and they heard five shots, I guess it sounds like. We have a couple of minutes left here, and we do have David on the line. Hi, David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, I don't know, some people might not like what I hear. Some people might think certain things. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm not against Jewish people, okay? I'm not against people. I'm not against Mexicans. I'm a liberal. I have, you know, I love people. But we have to go around and around and around into this circle and find out who's calling the shots. Did we all watch the Hanukkah at the White House? Did you watch the Hanukkah at the White House?
I am not sure where we're going with that one, David, so we're going to go ahead and pause you there. And, you know, thank you for calling. We have about 5 minutes left. If anybody else wants to get on the line, 503-231-8187. You can also message us on the KBU website, kbu.fm, and click on that chat with us button.
Yeah, I think, you know, something that that's running through my head. We had a little conversation last night, you and I, and we're talking, among other things, I mean, like, about the antisocial behavior expressed by ICE agents. And, you know, I think there's, going back to what we're talking about with Tangent, why these agents get reshuffled around. My, you know, conspiratorial take, or maybe it's not that conspiratorial, is that because they also can't adjust back into society, and there would be no other place for them to work except in this, in this department that acts with total impunity.
Mm-hmm.
But your point against that is that there is a contrast to set against this antisocial behavior expressed by the government. There is, you know, the most powerful, I mean, one of the most powerful ways to act against that is sort of, you know, this community solidarity, this expression of, of support that is,
social,
targeted, social, that is, I mean, you know, among the other, I think, like, vices of the government, it is, ability for people to gather, socialize, develop community, develop relationships, because that is a powerful, device against the sort of the ways in which this government holds power and issues power, which is like through the sort of control of narrative, through the isolation and, you know, attack on individuals.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I agree. I mean, it's also partly because I said that yesterday. So, of course, what I said
right,
was right.
You are agreeing to your own words. And
no,
Althea put it much more
it.
Eloquently,
no,
I will say.
I doubt that. I doubt that. But, yeah, I do think that if their MO is, you know, conspiratorial and antisocial and untrusting of one's own eyes, of one's own neighbors, then the counter and the response has to be opposite those things. And I think it's also, like, important to know that individually it's hard to feel like you have any kind of power to do anything about it. And that's not even the case. You know, we do have power. We have a lot of power. But some of that is like that. Some of that's bearing witness.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that is maybe you have a free morning and, you know, you're standing outside the neighborhood elementary school making sure ICE doesn't come by, you know. And maybe one of the solutions to all of this is that, you know, those like those guarding kind of things that people have been doing at like school pickup and drop off. Maybe those need to be done at like health centers and churches, you know, like and that if you have citizenship or more solid like green card immigration status, then like that is a privilege that maybe you haven't been thinking about or exercising in a particular way. So I don't know, those are some of the things that I've been thinking about. yeah, we'll see how things continue on here, what information might also emerge later on. Yeah, we're kind of wrapping up our show here. Reed, any final thoughts from you on at the end of our time on the Genius Box this morning?
No, I think you well summarized. Yeah, things are running through my head, and I wouldn't want to muddy the waters.
Okay,
final statement.
I like when you muddy the waters, but that is A-okay.
Don't worry, I'll be back next week too.
Hopefully, I'll get to say something really convoluted and strange at that point.
100%, I will.
And I will also say thank you to everybody who supported KBOO in our fund drive. We made our goal, spoiler alert. Fantastic. Thank you so much for supporting community institutions like us. Also, if you want to request, our new zine is out, and we'll mail you one. Go on the website, check that out. And yeah, like we mentioned, there's a vigil tomorrow at 4 to 6 outside City Hall. And I think that is going to wrap us here on Genius Box. Thank you to you, Reed. Thank you to Nate, our engineer. Thank you to everybody who called and messaged. We appreciate you. Stay tuned to KBOO.
Bye-bye.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
Hello, my name is Jeff, and I host the show A Matter of Public Records, which broadcasts on KBOO the first, second, and fourth Saturdays of every month from 3 to 6 a.m. It is a somewhat eclectic show suitable for the end of night or to be listened to at the start of an early day.